This next step is made possible through a grant from Harutyun Kelaijan. Believe in ESP? Do you think that things happen for reasons? I don't know if they do or not, but I'll tell you about a few things and connect the dots in between. It's a raw day, and we'll be producing raw. This is Father Voskin. I am a priest of the Armenian Church, connecting the dots between the emotional, the psychological, the physical, and everything in between. This is Next Step, episode number 453, and we invite you to take it with us right now.
This is Susie from In His Shoes, welcoming you to our ninth year of broadcasting The Next Step. The next step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Voskin provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, giving an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ. It's a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. The next steps are serious, fun, informative, and most of all relevant, as religion should be. So get ready. We're taking the next step.
Now come on, tell me, do you believe in those kind of things? It's really weird, isn't it? And when it does happen, you say, well, of course. Yeah, do you remember last week? I shared with you that a dear, dear friend of mine passed away. And first of all, let me thank all of you who sent in your words of condolences and strength. I really, really appreciate that. Thank you so much. That same day, did you notice the cover of last week's Next Step? There was a coffee pot. That's an old Pyrex coffee pot made out of glass. I don't know. I would say 60s, 70s. Let's say at the very, very least 30 years old. This was a coffee pot percolator, glass percolator, that my friend Laura had given to me. And that day, as you remember last Thursday on our podcast, I shared with you her passing. That same day, in the morning, I guess the news fresh in my head, and I'm watching the coffee perk on the stove. My thoughts went to her, of course. She gave me this coffee pot, and I'm drinking coffee. I took a picture of that pot. And I said, you know what? That's going to be the cover shot. Yeah, I know. There are all these kind of like eclectic different shots that I take of things that there is rhyme or reason to my cover pictures. I want to really let you know that, okay? These are not just happenstance kind of like pictures that I throw. Like, we need a cover shot, Susie tells me. And so many times we're ready for publishing and Susie will hit me back with, well, we don't have the cover shot. And we select those cover shots exactly. Each one of them has a meaning. Do not think, do not ever assume that they have just been taken out from like some stock photos and we just slap it together, put the In His Shoes label on it and send it out to the podcast. No, each of them has a meaning. And last Thursday's last podcast, 452, there was a meaning to it. I had this coffee pot. This percolator, this glass percolator, Pyrex percolator, on the cover. And I shared with you, if you listen to the podcast, I shared with you a very special message about a dear friend and our talks over coffee. And, you know, you put the dots together and you figure out that that's the coffee pot. Okay. Would you believe that that picture on that cover was the last time that that coffee pot existed? That same day, the day of her passing, I used that coffee pot for the last time. It cracked. It cracked. I know. You say, well, it's just coincidence. you know what? It's just, it's weird coincidence, right? It's a little bit too much coincidence. I don't want to go into that coincidence, right? Is that fair to say? There it was. The day my friend had passed away, this beautiful coffee pot, antique coffee pot that she had given to me, that we had used through the years, made our coffee on all the time. On that day, it cracked. Are you ready? Yeah, dude. Thank you. A little Twilight Zone music. Yes, that's what we need. How does that happen? Anyway, it's been a very rough week for many, many reasons for many, many people. I do want to thank all of you who shared your kind, kind gestures of sympathy with me. And today was her funeral, Laura's funeral. Very, very difficult day for a lot of people, a lot of friends. We were together, people we hadn't seen for 30, 40 years. And I had to do the service. Now, this is kind of weird because I don't want to do this service. Is that weird to say? And does anybody else go through this? Do you go through this in other professions? I imagine there's every profession. There's certain things you want to do, you don't want to do. But here's the catch to this one. I didn't want anyone else to do it. Fickle, I don't know. I did not want to do this service today. But I didn't want anyone else to do it. And I tell you that it's times like this that you really feel the strength of God, because I cannot tell you that I did this service on my own. I'll be honest with you. It's impossible to get that kind of feeling. This is a dear friend. This is a friend that, well, we had a childhood. We've been friends since age 4 or 5 years old. Been through so many of life's difficulties, life's challenges, and life's happinesses too. Shared so much. And here I am at this funeral where, you know, you don't want to be there. It's robbed a life. This horrendous thing called cancer has robbed a life. And you're mad. And yet you realize that you have to be there. Because you don't want anyone else to do it. You want her memory to be presented in the right way. At least in the way you think it should be presented, with dignity, right? I mean, you all know what I'm talking about. You've been to enough of those funerals where somebody gets up and talks and puts it all together, and you say, well, that's not the person I know, you know. I couldn't let that happen. And she just meant too much to all of us, not just me. We saw people today that go back, and this was the beauty of Laura. She kind of like pulled us in. We became a giant family. And there I was, doing something that I didn't want to do. But I did it because I didn't want anyone else to do, okay? That's how plain and simple it was. And we got through it. We got the courage, we got the strength, and we made it through it. It was an opportunity to stop, to reflect, to think. And I guess the atmosphere afterwards, I can't tell you that it was celebratory, although, you know, that those cliche things come out every so and now and then, you know, like we're celebrating the life. And that's okay. I mean, you know, I understand you got to make do with what life is giving you. But I made mention of this, too, in what I spoke about her, that there is an elephant in the room that we can't avoid, and that is cancer. And this dreaded disease has to be stopped. You need to take a stand on it. You need to say enough is enough. And that was one of the beautiful things about Laura, is that, you know, she never wore her faith on her sleeve. She just did it. She was just a quiet testimony to it. And she just went out and did it. And it was a couple of years ago that she joined our team, In Her Shoes team, to get out there against breast cancer. You know, we do the walk every September. And she's volunteered. She's been on this team, In Her Shoes. And here's an opportunity, a beautiful opportunity, to address the elephant in the room and say, okay, I'm taking a stand now to continue the legacy, to continue the direction that Laura had put us in, and go out there and participate as well. If we can't walk, if we can't help, then donate. And there you go. And it's the continuity of life. And this is where we get into this whole theological thing, too, about when we talk about love never fades, love never dies. Well, this is it. It requires you to be the agent by which that love goes. Now, wait, I still got some spooky stuff to tell you. Okay, now hold on with me. But I'm now into the theological stuff. Yeah, you're with me right now. You know, today is just a raw day. Everything is raw. Okay, so bear with me right now. We're going through the different stages. I got through the denial and all that. We're going through the different stages. But yes, I'm going to get to another spooky little moment in just a second, okay? But bear with me on this one, okay? We talk about love, the power of love. We talk about love never dies. Well, guess what? It's not in anybody else's hands. You know, we talk about our prayer life, our prayers. Think about our prayers. How are our prayers? We usually pray and we treat our prayers, I've shared this with you in the past, we treat God like a Santa Claus. So we pray, and if we don't get what we want, well, it must mean that we did something wrong. You know, no, that's Santa Claus. You know, he knows when you've been naughty or nice, right? No, God is not about that. It's not a wish list that you hand to him. And so what happens is our prayer life is dictated by the results that we get. So that if we don't get the results we want, we tend to pray less. For instance, you pray for somebody, you hope the cancer doesn't take over. And then when that person succumbs to that cancer, well, okay, then all bets are off, stop praying. No, just the opposite. That's when your prayers should be accelerated, because the prayer is not about God swooping down from heaven. It's about your understanding of who you are. That's what prayer is. Your heavenly Father, Jesus tells us, already knows what your needs are. Think about that, right? He says, pray. Well, he also says in the Sermon on the Mount, your heavenly Father knows what your needs are. So why are you praying? Well, it's to wake up that God that's inside of you. In other words, to wake up the self. Because God knows what we want, but you don't know what you want. For you to be in tune with what's going on. For you to address some of the issues that are in your life. And certainly when it comes to cancer, you say, well, what can I do? Well, a lot of it is in our hands, right? Talk about early detection. We talk about early prevention. Wired magazine a few years ago had this story about get over the idea that we're going to eradicate cancer. It says the true secret is going to be in early detection. That's where technology should be taking us. Because ultimately, cells mutate. Ultimately, there's going to be cancers. If you live long enough, something's going to go wrong, right? If you go, this is what's happening to us. We've extended lifespan, so definitely new diseases are coming up. It's not like they're brand new diseases, except we're just living longer, so we're more susceptible. And at some point, these cells break down. That's what cancer is, right? So it says early detection. Well, think about that in terms of prayer, too. You pray and you understand and you get into the habit of checkups and understanding yourself and your body and your restrictions and so on, right? Okay, I did promise you that there'd be some spooky thing. It's coming up, okay? Trust me, it's coming up. Okay, so this theological idea, the theological aspect to all of this is that, yeah, when we put someone to rest, the continuity, the love never dies, is so important that we pick up the pieces, that we understand that part of that prayer is us, that we're going to pick up those pieces and continue that memory, continue doing those good things that that person did during his or her life. And so today, the elephant in the room, the cancer, you want to do something about it, do something about it. Pick up your pallet and walk is that invitation to do something about it, right? You can't walk, you can't assist, make a donation, do something about it. Okay, now, spooky part, right? I told you about the coffee pot that just shattered the same day that my friend, the person who gave me that coffee pot, passed away. I know, spooky, spooky, spooky. So how about this one? I did not want to do this funeral today. But I did it because I didn't want anyone else to do it. Seriously, this is the expression that I said to myself, and I expressed it to one or two members of the family. I do not want to be here. But I'm doing it because I didn't want anyone else to do it. I walk in to the chapel where the casket is there. This happened this morning. Walk into the chapel. The casket is there. In front of the casket, flowers, and there is a large blow-up picture of Laura. Dear sweet Laura, beautiful Laura. It's a picture that I had taken some 35 years ago. It's a picture that I had taken 35 years ago of my dear friend Laura. Now, what's spooky about it is I specifically remember this. Laura was not the type that liked to get her picture taken. You wouldn't see her walking around with cameras and stuff, right? I was a student. I was taking a photography course. And Laura's, at that time, her boyfriend became her husband, had gone and enlisted in the army. She calls me up and says, I need you to take some pictures of me. I want to send it to him. And I said, yeah, you know, you're a student. Yeah, you need subjects. And so, yeah, I went down and take pictures of Laura. But what did she say? What were the words that she says? I don't want anyone else to do it. And I said, wow, there you go. There's your message. I don't want anyone else to do it. And here I was 35, 40 years later in this chapel, not wanting to do this service, but knowing I had to do it because I didn't want anyone else to do it. The same exact words came to me 40 years later. Now, you want to play the Twilight Zone music or you don't? Up to you, but I tell you, these are like little signals to me that, you know what, there is something bigger at play. There are things at play, and we just need to be more in tune to it. Someone asked me, I was at the one of the high schools the other day teaching some kids, and one of the kids says, do you believe in ESP? I said, well, what does that mean? Extrasensory perception. I said, well, tell me what that means. I challenged him, like, okay, those are words, ESP. In other words, extrasensory. You have your senses, the five senses, touch, smell, sight, hearing, taste. Those are your senses. Extra means an extra sense. Well, yeah, why not? Why wouldn't I believe in it? Why wouldn't I believe that we are capable of something more than the physical senses? Yeah. I said, yes, I do. And certainly throughout my life, and my career as a priest, my life as a priest especially, I've seen too many examples of things that I cannot explain. Things with which the great physicist Albert Einstein referred to as mystery, as being the fundamental groundwork to what we call religion or religiosity among human beings. The thing that you cannot describe. Because I cannot describe it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. It means that my faculties may not be as attuned to those things. And I do believe that there are other peoples for whom those faculties are heightened and they do work. And the case in point is always obvious. You know, you find a blind person whose hearing is more acute than yours or mine, or you find a deaf person whose eyesight is incredible and is able to feel out so much stuff that he's able to read lips, what you and me cannot do. Anyway, that's how we came to an end today at this service, a difficult day for us. Now, today's a raw day. I'm going to take some time. I'm going to play a tune by Cat Stevens that helped us today get through the day. It was the background music for today's slideshow. And, well, I'm going to play it. Here's Cat Stevens, and I'll be back in a couple moments.
Well, I think it's fine building jumbo planes or taking a ride on a cosmic train. Switch on summer from a slot machine. Just get what you want to if you want, 'cause you can get anything. I know we've come a long way, we're changing day to day. But tell me, where do the children play? Well, you roll on roads over fresh green grass for your lorry loads, pumping petrol gas. And you make them long and you make them tough, but they just go on and on, and it seems that you can't get off. I know we've come a long way, we're changing day to day, but tell me, where do the children play?
Children Play by Cat Stevens, an interesting song which was picked, not by me, but somebody, for a slideshow about Laura. And I'm telling you, today's a raw day, okay? I came out of a funeral I didn't want to be at, did something I didn't want to do, and it all made sense at the end of it. So much so that it felt good that I did it. Raw in the sense that, you know, we haven't processed anything. We just went from funeral to memorial gathering. I mean, from a burial to a memorial gathering. And then we had a couple drinks. And then we were off at Ascensia feeding the homeless. And all the while knowing that I was going to put together a podcast. And I thought to myself, you know what? Let's go raw. So that's how raw it is. Because there's still one more dimension that I've kept from you. I'm going to share that with you in just a moment. But while we're on the music, the music section of today's show, what was all that Tina Turner about? That's what somebody asked me. What was all that Tina Turner music last week that you were playing? And yes, thank you. You got to the end of the show. You heard The Private Dancer and almost got shocked. Like, what is he playing over there? Okay, back up a little. And the reason for that was because it was a dedication to my dear friend Laura. Because, you know, she was a big fan of Tina Turner. Just thought she was amazing. Amazing for her age and her looks. So that's what that was all about. Nothing special. Nothing more than that, but a private dedication to a dear friend. I'll be back in a moment.
That's it.
Living in the past, we do that a lot, don't we? It's kind of a comfortable place because it always looks a lot better on what's past. But when you're in that past, when you were in that past, sometimes it wasn't that great, right? Anyway, the next section. I told you that it's a raw day today. We're just giving off raw emotions. And in the middle of that, you're getting some of the Armadoxy's best. Because we're finding out that, you know, Armadoxy's about connecting these dots. And these dots are real. They're real places that we are in life. And sometimes they're not pleasant places. They're places of death. They're places of disease. There's places of happiness, too. But those dots need to be connected. And that's what we do. That's what Armadoxy is about. I was at one of the high schools yesterday, and we went from classroom to classroom because we were talking about our upcoming Reclaim Conference. Yes, if you don't know about it, it's coming up. By the end of today's show, you will know about it, okay? But we were talking about Reclaim Conference to a group of high schoolers. And we were going from class to class, and it was interesting for me. And I took it as a challenge. We walked into the English classroom, and there I found a book by Kurt Vonnegut. And it was a challenge for me to talk from Kurt Vonnegut's perspective on his idea of his understanding through some of his works. So bringing him into the equation to find relevancy with the group that I had there, and then connecting the dots and bringing it to Armadoxy. From there, we walked into the physics classroom. And there, to be able to talk about some of these concepts. Actually, it was really wild because we walked also into a chemistry classroom where we got into some big ideas about faith and the ideas of compounds. You know, the elements coming together and melding together. And really, it's on faith that you understand the entire the entire structure of the universe, right? Because seriously, I mean, you know, it's things that you just observe. You do it through the purest of all languages, which I believe is that mathematics, right? But still, it's a creation of the human mind and the human brain. And so it's that ability to put this all together and give a perspective to connect the dots so that the person understanding, hearing it, learning it, is understanding that there is some prize there that is higher than himself. Like for instance, in the math class, okay, here we are at an Armenian high school, okay? Now, you know that they learn religion in the typical sense of learning a bunch of facts. First Christian nation, Thaddeus and Bartholomew come to Armenia, blah, 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 blah. Okay, now, you gotta make that real in their lives, and you see that they're in a math class. and to challenge them to start thinking, okay, did you know that the seventh letter of the Armenian alphabet is E? Did you know that that E is the verb to be? It is the name of God. Now, why is that important that it's the seventh letter? Well, because seven is the combination of a three and a four. Three being the heavens, the Trinity. Four being the corners of the earth. Three plus four. In other words, you've got heaven and earth. You've got all of the cosmos. You've got the universe in the single letter E, the seventh letter of the Armenian alphabet. Wow. Now we're doing math, right? Or are we doing theology? Let's push it a little bit, right? So I turn to them and I go like, when was St. Gregory the Illuminator? When did he come to Armenia? And this is one of those things everybody knows, right? 301 AD. Yeah, that's like almost like it's like tattooed on people's, the inner eyelid of Armenians, you know? Armenians like know this number, 301. 301 AD, St. Gregory came to Armenia and we became the first Christian nation. Woohoo! So I challenged them. I says, what about 301? I said, what are the factors of 301? Well, do the math. We just talked about seven being this perfect number. Did you know that 301, the two factors are 7 and 43? 43 being another prime number, so therefore 7 times 43 is 301. But what is 43 if not the combination of the 4 and the 3? Blow their mind. You see, it all comes together. And so we've been talking about the glass shattering, about the picture giving a small message, or about us understanding ourselves in a greater story than we could ever have possibly imagined. That's what I mean by extrasensory perception. Understanding that we do not engage all of our senses when we are talking and interacting with the world. If we do, look at the things that are in front of us. Look at these small little signals. Look at these little messages that can touch us in our lives. Raw as you get today. It also happened to be the day on which my father passed away, some 26 years ago to the date. So here we are. We're at the cemetery. We're doing stuff. Am I getting too morbid with you? Are you guys okay? Yeah, okay. I know. It's like wild. It's like good and spooky, right? Okay, as long as you're with me, okay? Don't go out on me, okay? We're doing okay. Anyway, it is 26 years ago to the date that my father passed away. And so here we were at the cemetery. We had just finished this funeral, and then we went over to my dad's gravesite, and there we lit some incense, and we said a prayer before moseying off over to the memorial gathering. And we had a chance to reflect about him. And here, again, can love ever die? Well, it's that love that we have towards him. It's the love that he expressed towards us that we celebrate. But love by itself, can that ever die? I mean, if it's not connected to human existence. Well, here's the interesting thing. There is no such thing. There is no love apart from human existence or human understanding. Now we're getting into some metaphysical things, right? Because when we talk about love never dying, we're talking about human emotions. There's no such thing as just a love that exists. It's not like Planet X. It's not like the moon, you know? Like it's up there. There was a time when it was, time when it wasn't. And so love is beyond that. Love is always there. Well, think about it in this term. We call God as love. We understand God as love. Is there a time when God does not exist? Or God does exist? No, of course not. God is always there. That by nature of the definition of God is that, you know, God is always there. And that hence the name, E. He is. Not he was, he will be, he is. And so whenever you pronounce that, whenever time frame you are, on the time continuum, whatever dimension you're in, whatever space-time relationship you have, when you say those words, God is, you understand that at that moment, God is. Love is. Love is beyond time. It is beyond this idea of physical tangibility. But in a very real sense, if you don't have those sensors, how can you understand that love? Big challenge. And of course, this is where, you know, Cartesian philosophy comes from, right? I think, therefore I am. I could think it, and therefore I am. If I can't think it, what? And so, how does love fit in this? What is the idea of love? Is it just an idea? Well, think about it in these terms. Because I don't want you to think that I'm just rambling on because we are raw today, okay? No, it's not a ramble today. I hope you're following me right now. I know it's a little bit twisty and turny along the road. But listen to it again. It all connects. It's all dots that connect. Because at the end of the day, what happened is we were at Essentia. Essentia is this home that we, our In Issues ministry provides meals twice a month. And so there we were at Essentia this evening. We were celebrating. Yeah, we were celebrating. Guess whose birthday? I have to say that. Susie's birthday. It's our Susie's birthday. Yes, we were celebrating by feeding the homeless. And it's a beautiful gesture that she puts on every year. It's her turn in February. She takes on the role of being the mama to these people by providing the meals that month. So there we were. After a day like this, after all the things that happened today, I mean, we went from funeral to gravesides to my dad's graveside. We went to the dinner. We had opportunities to talk. And there we were at Essentia at the evening, passing out meals to the homeless. And what are we doing? We came full circle, expressing love, expressing through our actions. And agape love, in other words, without having that expectation in return, doing that to others without any expectation, because obviously they could not. And in the midst of all of this, I'm challenging you to understand love as something that is before all time, always there, always will be, the eternal present, and the formula by which all of creation happens, right? Because we say God is love when we say God created the heavens and the earth. What are we understanding? Now, can you put that in that package? Can you find a place where that formula works? I can. In fact, there it is. It's the connection. Love is the connector. It's the connector between all of those dots. People who have passed in the past, who have touched your life, their sincere wish to do something good with their life, their ability to touch you with their life is what? An expression of their love. To go out there and feed people, what is that? An expression of your love. To keep a memory of a person alive, what is that? It's your expression of love. God loving you so much that he gives you his son, what is that? An expression of love. All of these expressions of love, well, what is that love? Is it something tangible? Is it like the moon? Is it like a planet? Is it like the mountains? Is it fluid? Is it like the oceans? No. Is it there? Yes. Can you touch it? No. Is it there? Yes. What have I just done? I've shared with you the formula for God. People have a big idea of trying to disprove or prove God when all along it's right in front of you. It's sitting in front of you. And hence the Zen koan. Hence the Buddhist master will tell you that the Buddha nature is inside of you. It's right there. Why? Because it's the same thing, folks. It's just exactly what I said. It's what Jesus said. The kingdom of heaven is inside and outside of you. It's all around you. It's there. It's right in front of you. God, love, is there. And the expressions of God are there. Therefore, because the expressions of love are there, right? You see what I'm doing? I'm interchangeably using those words, God and love, okay? So love is always there. God is always there. And you're understanding that we complicate it. We complicate it by putting all of this extra hoopla on it. And when you strip away that hoopla, you get the essence of what it's all about. You understand that it is that reaching out to people. It is life form that cannot die. It is what Jesus Christ talks about. Love, because love is the one thing that is with us. Love one another as I have loved you. How did he love us? By giving himself to us. What does he expect from us? Love as I loved you. In the same way that you loved me. Love others. Love one another. Boom. You get it? It's all interconnected. It's the beauty of Armodoxy. It's the lines that connect all of the dots. That's the love. Susie, do some connecting yourself. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the ninth year of producing shows which are heard around the globe. Since 2008, we've provided quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armodoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. Please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
I think what you needed today from me was some graphics with all that, right? It is kind of one of those remarkable things. And you know what? That's what I was saying, by the ability to go from classroom to classroom and talk about the same topic, but from different perspectives, whether it's from English, from mathematics, from physics, from foreign language, whatever it might be. You know, this is the interconnectivity that we need to be attuned to. That's that extra sensory perception, to be able to tune yourself to all of these wild variables. That's what Armodoxy is about. That's what we do over here on The Next Step. And guess what? You're going to get a chance to be with us next month, March 10th, 11th, and 12th. We're having a giant conference. It's called the Christian Conference Reclaim. Reclaim that church that belongs to all of us, but somehow we've given it up. We've given it up to all kinds of different things, to languages, to people that are arguing about nations, to politics. No, that church is pure. And we're inviting you to come out to Burbank. This is March 10th, 11th, and 12th for 3 days. We're going to have a conference that's unlike anything else. I invite you to get on our website. In the show notes today, you'll have all the information from everything we talked about today, as well as information about this conference. It's at embracing-faith.com. Check it out. You'll see schedules. You'll see what we're doing. You'll see the wild presentations that we're going to have. In fact, you'll see pictures, cute pictures of us, of all the different presentations and all the great activities that we're going to have. These are 3 days you will not want to miss. And as I made it the last 2 weeks, I'm making one more final appeal to you in the sense that I would love to have you be my guest, Next Steppers, to be my guest. and I can make that happen. All you need to do is drop me a line at feedback@epostle.net, or just go on embracing-faith.com, and where it says scholarship, hit it and say, Father Voskin promised me a scholarship on the next step. That's all you need to say. And they'll make sure that you get squared away with a ticket. You will be able to come and enjoy 3 days. But here's the catch. You need to be in Burbank. You need to be there Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. You will not want to miss it. I'll tell you a funny story. One of the priests that was at a meeting the other day, Father Hartoon, he got up and he said, I have to tell you this story. One of my girls is going away to college, wrote to me, said, Father Hartoon, guess what? There's this fantastic conference I'm going to, and I think you should go to it too. Not knowing that the priest had already been such an avid supporter and was part of this conference. Anyway, beautiful stories like that get me, give me the energy to keep going forward. That being said, let me tell you where I'm at this week. This Sunday, I'll be at the St. Peter Armenian Church in Van Nuys, California. That's the valley. If you're a valley girl, you know exactly where that is, okay? St. Peter Armenian Church in Van Nuys. I'll be doing the sermon over there. Then on Monday, yeah, Susan and I are heading out to Standing Rock. We're going out to North Dakota. Flying out to Bismarck, and we're going to be at Standing Rock. And we will, next week, on our next step, we will have a special edition from Standing Rock. We hope to do some recordings over there and get you an incredible podcast that you will not want to miss. That'll be next week. Next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we'll be in Standing Rock with the indigenous people there, with the Native Americans standing there against some of this horrible stuff that's going on in our country over here, and standing up for the dignity of a group of people. I'll have more on that next week. That's what we're going to be dedicating next week to. Got a lot to share with you. I'd love to hear from you. Please get in touch with us. As Susie said, you can support this ministry by going on the website and clicking on the donate button, by sending in your donations. And if you find value in this, please tell others about it. Even if you don't, tell others about it. It's a lot of work that we put together. We're in our 9th year. We're getting ready for our 10th year. And we've got some exciting stuff to tell you about that. And yes, I have not forgotten about the oils. That's coming up too. But for right now, I do need to get some rest. It is at the end of a long and emotional day, but I want to thank you for joining us. Do check us out at all the usual spots, at all social media outlets, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you name it, we are there, as well as the mothership on issues.org and epostle.net. Lots to tell you about. Forward to having you again next week, and of course, we'll be filling you in throughout the week. Do follow us, because that's where you'll get the news as it is happening. But for right now, on behalf of our lovely producer, who celebrates another year, a little bit older, a little bit wiser, but always just great to be around, Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Voskin, inviting you to join us again next week, when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
You're seeing the same sky as we are.